Marcy lay curled on her side like a comma, staring at the drywall texture of the bedroom wall. A Monterey drag, the contractor called it. It was supposed to be more elegant than an orange peel finish, but she and Will were sorry they'd chosen it because the taupe paint alternately glopped and skipped over the deep fissures and grooves, and it took three coats to cover the white freckles still showing through. "Now I know why they call it a drag," Will had joked, as their arms started to ache with rolling. That was how many years ago now? When the house was just built, long enough that a lot of those white pox had started to reappear where the paint had been scuffed, dinged, and chipped away with wear. They should repaint. They could afford to hire someone to do it now, of course. They were too old for that nonsense, and she couldn't see them undertaking that two-day ordeal again. By the end of it, every inch of them had ached as if they'd done a triathlon instead of home decor. They'd both been covered in paint, not least because with the carpet yet to go in, Marcy and Will had made a game of practicing different brushstroke techniques on each other. "Nice to know my art classes do have some practical applications," Marcy teased as she made impressionist streaks across Will's forearm, until it had led to the inevitable conclusion and they'd wound up on a drop cloth on that cold concrete floor, smearing it all over each other's bare bodies. Too old for that nonsense, too. Too old for a lot of things. She curled deeper into the sheets, listening to the shower run in the master bathroom, and knowing she had to get up and get ready, too, or she'd be late for work. She'd already missed 2 days at the height of event season at the hotel. Chuck was probably on the verge of going supernova from the pressure of trying to handle everything on his own. Not that he'd actually had to do that, since he'd been burning up her cell phone with increasingly frantic messages, most recently about the Fraser-Magnuson reception. Mrs. Fraser was determined that her son would have the perfect wedding she'd never had, and most of Marcy's efforts so far had centered around managing the mother of the groom and gently reminding her that the hotel was simply hosting the reception, and any changes to the menu or decor needed to be run by the Magnusons and their wedding planner. Apparently, Mrs. Fraser was inflamed to the point that Mr. Magnuson was now calling to complain that the hotel was helping the woman take over his daughter's special day. Marcy needed to put out that fire before it got out of hand. Will had tried to confiscate her phone when it kept buzzing with work calls and texts. "You need to rest, and they need to give you a break right now." But she'd argued that ignoring the crises would only make them worse when she got back. And it wasn't as if Chuck or anyone else at the Bonnefort knew why she'd suddenly taken two unprecedented personal days. Marcy and Will hadn't exactly been sharing the joyful news. Will wanted her to stay home a few more days, too, not try to jump right back into routine, but give herself some time to process, as if she were an antiquated CPU. Marcy just wanted him to stop hovering over her. He'd been a steady presence ever since they got back from the doctor, pulling the covers over her shoulder, rubbing her arm or bringing her a glass of water, or making soup that grew cold on the bedside table next to the tarnished silver bell that was part of the Malone family sterling his parents gave them when they were married. Two 18-year-olds who used paper plates and plastic forks when they entertained. He'd set it there so she didn't have to get up if she needed anything. But she had yet to ring it because all she really wanted at the moment was a little space. She'd told him after the procedure that he didn't have to stay home with her. "If I need anything, I can call Emily," she'd said, nodding at her cell phone charging on the nightstand. Her mother-in-law lived just 3 doors down. They'd all bought at the same time after Will's father died. A new neighborhood where they could be close enough for Will and Marcy to keep an eye on Emily, and she would come right over. But Marcy knew she wouldn't call. Emily didn't know about the miscarriage. No one did, because they hadn't told anyone Marcy was pregnant. They hadn't quite gotten used to the news themselves. "I want to stay with you," he'd replied, and he probably meant it, stroking her arm until she put her hand on top of his, trapping his fingers to stop them. Just go. It came out sharper than she meant it to, and the wounded look on his face sent a flash of guilt through her. I'm just going to sleep, she'd said as a consolation prize. She hadn't wanted to take time off at all, but the doctor advised her to take things easy on yourself for a little while and not try to tough out the pain, though there really wasn't any pain so far. The woman had also offered to refer Marcy and Will to a fertility expert. This is quite common with older parents. So clearly, Dr. Wilkins wasn't exactly an expert at reading the room.